Amen. Let's go to John, please. John 3. I'm going to share verses 16 and 17 out of the Passion Translation. It says, "For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and rescue it." Now, when you think about that term, rescue it, even to be its savior, it doesn't mean one thing. You know, when you go to war, at least in our country, we have the Army, we have the Navy, we have the Marines, we have the Air Force, we have the National Guard. Each one of them, they all play a role, and they all bring different things with them. When the Army shows up, it doesn't just men just don't show up. They have weapons. They have a strategy. They have all of the things necessary to rescue, to win, to take out the enemy. And when God sent Jesus into this world, Jesus didn't just come into this world alone. There are things that that came along with him. So if you need a title for this message, it's The Multiple Birth. The Multiple Birth. Multiple birth, that's when more than one child is birthed at a time. I haven't seen a number. I haven't over five. I believe there's someone that gave birth to eight. I'm not sure. But those are multiple births. Now, we just finished celebrating Thanksgiving. And the original intent of the pilgrims was to give thanks to God for their survival that first year. And what's interesting about that is they wanted to give thanks to God, even though almost half of them didn't make it the first year. They died from starvation. They died from what they call the great disease, which it was thought to be pneumonia. But despite all those hardships and all those tragedies, they recognized the truth that even though those things happened, God brought them through. And so what they wanted to do is they wanted to take time and give thanks to God for what he did. They didn't focus on the ones that didn't make it. They didn't focus on the hardships and the tragedies and all the stuff that was involved with them coming to a new world to set up a new life. They focused on what God did for them. And their original celebration was 3 days. 3 days. You know, for them, it wasn't about the food. It wasn't about the fellowship. It wasn't about watching 3 football games. It was about giving thanks to God, because despite of what they went through, as far as they were concerned, God was good. And he was good to them. Look at Psalm 121, please. First 2 verses, I'm going to share it in 2 translations. Because the original pilgrims, they didn't know anything about farming. They didn't know what they could eat. They didn't know any of those things. But the native citizens there assisted them. But they weren't even giving thanks to them. They were giving thanks to God. Psalm 121, first 2 verses says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth." I read it for the first time, believe it or not, in the Message Bible. In the Message Bible, it's subtitled A Pilgrim Song. "I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God who made heaven and earth and mountains." That's called the Pilgrim Song. So what the pilgrims were doing is they're saying, yes, these people helped us. But our help came from God. So we're not looking to the people. We're not looking to their knowledge. we're thankful to God for sending them in our life because they helped us through. They didn't watch a parade. Like I said, it wasn't about the food. They wanted to give thanks to God. They didn't care. You know, they said, well, we're going to start this tradition. And then the day after, we're going to put everything on sale. You know, no, they weren't interested in any of those things. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, but people have lost sight of what Thanksgiving is really all about. It's not about the 70-inch 4K TV and the PlayStation 500. Those things are nice. They're fun. I don't own a PlayStation. I've never used a PlayStation. It's not that I've been opposed to it or wouldn't do it. You know, I still have the original Wii that our grandchildren still love to play the original games. But the thing about it is that the pilgrims recognize that the only reason that some of them were successful is that they trusted on God and he came through and they were going to give him thanks. And that's what the day was all about, giving him thanks and acting like you're thankful. Well, now Thanksgiving's over and we have our sights set on Christmas, where, you know, right after Thanksgiving, we went out and we bought these things. But now Christmas Day comes and we actually get to use those things. We get the presents and things. I think with Thanksgiving, it's football. With Christmas Day, it's basketball games all day. So that's the only birthday when the quote unquote birthday boy, no one sings happy birthday to him. He's the one whose birthday is the only one that doesn't get presents. You know, we're happy that Santa Claus made it. But Christmas is about the birth of our Savior. And when we embark on this Christmas season, there's some things we understand. That more than Jesus was born on that day, there were multiple births that occurred. See, because of Adam and Eve, because of their sin, mankind and the earth was cursed. Look at Genesis 3. I'm not going to go into the whole story of Adam and Eve. I don't have time for that. You can read first three chapters of Genesis. But starting verse 16 in Genesis 3, after Adam had sinned and God confronted them and the truth came out, verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because you had listened unto the voice of your wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. And don't use that as an excuse, husband, to tell your wives, see, I shouldn't listen to you because look what happened when the first man listened to his wife. No, he listened to her and did not obey God. So if you're obeying God, it's a different story. But he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of their wife and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. That implies that mankind's the only one that's going to have a problem with thorns and thistles. And when you look at animals, they eat plants with thorns and thistles on them. This says it will bring them to thee. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and shalt thou return. So mankind, who had everything, lost everything, lost all of their authority, lost their dominion, lost their right to live in the garden, lost eternal life, lost the opportunity to spend eternity and even fellowship with God. They lost everything, but God had a Christmas miracle planned. In verse 15 of Genesis 3, he said, speaking to the woman, "And I will put enmity between thee and the," speaking to the serpent, rather, he said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." And you've probably heard this before. The woman doesn't have the seed. She has the egg. So this was a direct reference to a virgin birth. He said, "Between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head. The seed of the woman will bruise your head," which means break the lordship of the ruler, "and thou shalt bruise thy heel." That means, as far as the devil was concerned, the seed of the woman was going to break his lordship, but the devil was still going to persecute him. Then God gave us in Isaiah a brief overview of what he was planning in Isaiah 9, beginning of verse 6, King James Version. It said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord will perform it." And then God even told us, he said, okay, the seed of the woman is going to do these things. But in addition to that, in Isaiah 53, only reading verses 4 to 6 in the Passion Translation, it says, "Yet he was the one who carried our sicknesses and endured the torment of our sufferings. We viewed him as the one who was being punished for something by himself he himself had done, as one who was struck down by God and brought low. But it was because of our rebellious deeds that he was pierced, and because of our sins he was crushed. He endured the punishment that made us completely whole, and in his wounding, we found our healing." So that's letting us know that when Jesus was born, more came than just the child. There were more things that were coming that were going to be born with him because man needed a savior. Man needed to be reconciled with God. Man needed a way to regain his dominion and his authority over the earth, because that's what we were given originally. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over everything. Everything that creeped across the earth. Mankind needed to be free of Satan's influence and the bondage of sin. Mankind needed to be whole. Mankind needed to be prosperous, because mankind was no longer whole and prosperous. They had to work and sweat for everything because of what man did, the ground was cursed. So if he put his, when he put his hands to stuff, it was cursed. And man had, he had to work, as Pastor Sam would say, like a Mississippi mule to get anything done. Then Jesus was born. Luke 2 gives one account of it. You'll hear this. I'm just going through this because this is kind of like a prelude to the Christmas season, because you'll hear messages, I'm sure, between now and Christmas on the Christmas story. But, you know, Mary and Joseph, you know, after Mary had the Immaculate Conception, you can read about that in Matthew. But in those days, there was a decree that went out where everybody had to be, there was a census, and everybody had to be counted. They went to Galilee. There was no room at the inn, you know, so they stayed, you know, in this little barn stall type building, and they made a bed for the baby in the manger. And verse 7 said, "She gave birth to her son, her firstborn, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them at the inn." And verse 8 says, in that vicinity where the shepherds living under the open sky in the field, watching in shifts over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord flashed and shone about them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the town of David a Savior, who is Christ the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be the sign for you by which you will recognize him. You'll find, after searching, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. So the gift, the ultimate gift, Jesus, whom mankind had done nothing to deserve, was now present. He was born. But his presence provided what mankind needed. See, the Savior that mankind needed was now born. Mankind needed a Savior. When Jesus was born, the Savior was born. Look at Romans 10. And because the Savior was born, now man can be reconciled to God. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Couldn't be saved if Jesus wasn't born and salvation wasn't born with him. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 8, King James Version says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. If Christ wasn't born, there wouldn't have been anything for us to be quickened, anyone for us to be quickened together with. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Where? In Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. If Christ isn't born, that redemption isn't born. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of your own, it is the gift of God. Mankind, who had a terrible life because of sin, now a new beginning was born. Because in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Everything, it says, behold, everything is fresh and new. A new beginning was born. A new start, a new outlook was born because Jesus was born. And guess what, folks? The church was born. Matthew 16, when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they started saying all the different things. And then Jesus, the way I say it is, Jesus asked them the only question that mattered. Who do you say that I am? And, you know, Peter answered in verse 16 of Matthew 16 and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, what rock? The revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon that rock, that truth, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So the church was born with power. Jesus said, I'm giving this to you. I'm the Christ. And on the truth that I'm the Christ, I establish the church and give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So whatever you say goes. That's the way it was supposed to be from the beginning. Man's ability to regain his dominion and authority over the earth was born. Man's ability to be free of Satan's influence and the bondage of sin was born. Look at 1 John. 1 John 3, Amplified Bible, verse 8. But he who commits sin, remember what I said, what was born was our ability to be free from the influence and the bondage of sin. But he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil, takes his character from the evil one. For the devil has sinned, violated the divine law from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was made manifest, visible, born, was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works the devil has done. All the works, every single thing that the devil has done, Jesus was born to dissolve it, and the ability to dissolve it was born along with it and given to us. The Phillips translation of that same verse says the man who lives a consistently good life is a good man, as surely as God is good. But the man whose life is habitually sinful is spiritually a son of the devil. For the devil is behind all sin, as he always has been. Now the Son of God came to earth with the express purpose of liquidating the devil's activities. I like that term. Liquidating means, of course, settle or pay, means to convert, but it means to get rid of, especially by killing. So no, Jesus didn't kill the devil. The devil is an immortal. But he killed off the works of the devil. He gave us the ability to kill off the works of the devil. He gave us power over everything that the devil's got. Look at Luke 10. Verse 19, the Amplified Bible, Jesus said, "Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. And nothing shall by any way harm you." Power over everything that the devil's got, everything that the devil can do, was born when Jesus was. You need to think about that. Prosperity was born because man was born to struggle because of the sin in the garden. Remember, cursed is the ground for your sake. Things aren't going to work out for you. But now we have Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need, how? According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If Jesus isn't born, my God can't supply all your need. So when Jesus was born, our ability to become prosperous was born. Forgiveness was born. Ephesians 4, verses 31 to 32 in the Message Bible. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another. Sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. When Christ was born, the ability to forgive sins was born. And because, and then look how God forgives. God in Christ. How do we forgive? In Christ. We wouldn't be able to do that if it were not born. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 lets us know that our victory was born. Our victory was born. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christ was born, we have victory. That victory came along with Christ. So we're approaching a time when we celebrate the day that Jesus was born. And that's, as Beth Clinton, you say, that's wonderful. But we have to remember all the other things that were born with him, because they're all equally as important. It was a multiple birth. I just mentioned a few of the things that came along when Jesus came along. But the bottom line is, folks, is we need to recognize exactly what happened that what we call that Christmas day. We know it actually wasn't on December 25th. That part doesn't matter. But that Christmas morning in that town in Bethlehem was a multiple birth that took place. And if we think about all of the other things that were born with the Christ, because of the Christ, that should give us a different meaning, a different understanding of what Christmas really should be all about. As the song, Happy Birthday, Jesus said, yeah, the presents are nice, but the real thing is you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's not about the other things that I get. Because I couldn't get anything if I first didn't get you. Everything that we needed, everything, absolutely everything that we needed to live the life that God originally created us to live, the be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth life, to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and the cattle and everything that creepeth over the earth. That's how we were intended to live. Everything the Bible tells us, talking about Jesus, is every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the type of authority, that's the type of power, that's the type of dominion that was born with the babe in the manger. And all of that was born for us, for our benefit, so that we could be rescued, because God so loved us. And even though mankind sinned, God wasn't willing to lose us. God fought for us and is fighting for us every single moment of our lives. Of our natural lives, he's fighting for us. We have angels watching over us, as the song says, all night and all day. Why? Because God so loved us that he sent Jesus and everything that mankind would need came along with him. Everything. Yes, he had to come as a babe because that was the legal way to gain entry into this earth. Satan fell like lightning. But Jesus came in the door through the door of the sheepfold, which is human birth. And because he did, because he was born, mankind has a savior. Mankind can be reconciled with God. Mankind regained dominion, reestablished himself as the one in control. Healing came. Think about that. Healing was born. with the stripes of Jesus Christ, we were healed. That was all part of the Christmas Day present. As I said earlier, everything that we needed was born on what we call that December day. We can now live free of the effects of Satan's influence. As a matter of fact, he can't influence us. Yeah, he can be annoying, but he can't influence us. He does not have the power any longer to make us do things we don't want to do. We were given power over all of his power that was birthed with Jesus. We're free from the bondage of sin. And folks, yeah, celebrate Christmas. Have a great time. But you got to remember, you have to remember, it is a birthday celebration, because in addition to Christ being born, we have love and forgiveness that were birthed. We have a peace that passes all understanding that was birthed during that same time. The ability to be reconciled with God, to God, was birthed. Victory over all the power of the enemy was birthed. Eternal life with God was birthed. You think of all the freedoms that we have because he was born. They came along with the birth. So yes, celebrate the babe in the manger. That's important. That's critical. That's who we are. But also develop an understanding that it was a multiple birth. There were other things that were born with Jesus that had to be born with Jesus so that Jesus could do what he was sent here to do, to rescue, as we first read, to be our Savior and to rescue us. Believe it or not, one of the things that I do or that I don't do is draw things out. I talk, I share with you what God shared with me, and I don't add to it. So we let you go a little early this evening because I've shared with you what God said. He said, celebrate Christmas. It's a birthday celebration. But remember all the other things that were birthed with Christ. Remember all of the other things. And in the Sundays and Wednesdays to come, I'm sure we're going to share more about the Christmas story. It never gets old. It's always exciting talking about the virgin birth. But what I want you to understand tonight, more than just Jesus was born on that day. There was so much more that was born with him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the word that you had for us, the reminder that you had for us, the encouragement that you had for us, the simplicity of it all, Lord. Jesus and everything we needed was birthed. And you want us to understand that, so that when we give homage, when we celebrate, when we pray, when we talk about all of it. We can't just embrace Jesus and not embrace everything that came with him. They're a package deal. We can be grateful to God for so loving us that he sent Jesus. And grateful to Jesus because that he was willing to come. He was in heaven with you, Father. You tell us that in John. When you said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And you told us the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And with the Word came all of the other things that we talked about tonight and then some. So we thank you for all that we have because we received the one who was birthed, the person of Jesus the Christ. And because we received him, we received everything that was birthed with him. And we are so grateful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Two quick things. Jesus came. He was born. Everything that we need was birthed with him. All we have to do, as I shared in one of the scriptures earlier in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, which says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's that simple. You'll be saved. So why don't you just repeat this after me? Father, I believe that you are God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he died for all my sins. I believe he went to hell in my place, and I believe after 3 days in hell, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I turn to you, and I ask you, come into my heart, come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you when I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, according to the Bible, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved. All of those things that were birthed now jumped on you. They're all on you. And we just want to help you get started on the right foot. We just want to give you a better understanding. Because I'm talking to you for about 45 seconds to a minute and a half. That's not going to give you all the understanding you need to know as to who you just became in Christ. So if you will just contact us using the information that's on the screen, we will send you free information, letting you know just that, who you've become in Christ and what the next steps are for you. And if there's anything that you don't understand or you'd like clarity or have a question or want to make a comment to me, use the same contact information. And I promise I will get back to you. May not be the same day, but I will get back to you. Dear sister sent me a note from last Wednesday's message, was telling me how they were blessed by last week's message. So if you just want to do that, Pastor Ed and I, we'd love to get those things. It's encouraging to our hearts.